Welcome to the Climate Report on WFMP FM Louisville. This is Hart Hagen, your host, and we are on episode number 109. Today's topic is Bernie's announcement speech. We'll be talking about Bernie's announcement speech in a few minutes, but first, here's what the Climate Report is all about. We believe that climate change is real and extremely urgent that we solve this problem. It is far more urgent than we are led to believe on the corporate media. But it is only one of the threats to our existence. Other threats to our existence include nuclear weapons, which are riskier now than they have ever been in history. Nuclear weapons should have been put to sleep in 1945, which is the end of World War II. And arguably, they should never have been developed in the first place, and even if they were developed, they should never have been used. But they are products of corporate greed. Similarly, we have a completely unsustainable agricultural system that I call agribusiness, and it's a completely unsustainable system for delivering food to us. We need food that is local and organic, and we could have this, but the reason that we don't have it is because of corporate greed. It's only a matter of a few decades that we're going to lose all the topsoil because of farming methods that are completely unsustainable and are a result only of corporate greed. Another threat to our existence is the extinction of biological species. We are not alone on this planet. We cannot survive on this planet without other species, and we cannot survive on this planet without robust natural systems that deliver food to us, natural systems that deliver clean water to us, natural systems that deliver clean air to us. And we cannot survive without these systems, but the natural systems that sustain life are rapidly being destroyed by corporate greed. Another threat to our existence, or at least a threat to the existence of people who can't afford to just whip out their wallets and buy whatever is needed, is clean water. You know, climate change is causing the depletion of clean water. Agribusiness is causing the depletion of clean water. The fossil fuel industry is causing the depletion of clean water. And people cannot survive without these things. But corporate greed is destroying the supplies of clean water that people have around the planet. And the poor are the first to be victimized by this. And the corporate media are the last ones to draw attention to it. That's why if you get all your information from the corporate media, then you're going to be among the last people to know that corporate greed is destroying our supplies of clean water. Now, corporate greed is a confusing term because you might as well talk about triangular triangles. The term triangular triangles is redundant, and the term corporate greed is redundant. Here's why. Because corporations were designed for greed. One of these episodes, I'm going to do an episode on the history of corporations. But go back 250, 300 years, and corporations came into prominence in Holland and in Great Britain. And the purpose of them was to be a vehicles for investors to put money in and get money out. And to this day, that continues to be the primary reason for corporations. You're supposed to be able to put money in and get money out. Now, I'm not talking about small businesses. If you're a small business person, you can establish a corporation or a limited liability company. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about these huge, publicly traded corporations, and the purpose of them is to put money in and get money out. Now, if I ask you, if I were in a live audience and I were to ask you, what is a corporation? You'd think, well, you've got Nike and McDonald's, and they have a brand, and they have real estate, and they have TV commercials, and they have businesses, and they have products, and they have sales. But those things are not the bare essence of a corporation. The bare essence of a corporation is that it is a place where you put money in and get money out. And that's the profit motive. That's what drives the stock market. You put money in and you get money out. So the sole duty of a corporate officer, the sole obligation of a corporate officer is to deliver money to the shareholders. If you don't deliver money to the shareholders, then you can be sued or you can be fired. Emphasis on the term sole duty. Now, there are corporations that are not very well known. It's called a Type B corporation, a public benefit corporation. I'm not talking about a nonprofit corporation. I'm talking about a for-profit corporation. But it is a corporation where the corporate officers do not just have a duty to the shareholders. They have a duty to stakeholders. They have a duty to the community. They have a duty to the employees. And that is as it should be. Corporations should not just have a duty to the shareholders. They should have a duty to stakeholders. They should have a duty to the community in which they operate. They should have a duty to the employees. They should have a duty to anybody that is impacted by their operations. But this is a dangerous idea. It is dangerous to the powers that be because they don't want this. Nike and McDonald's and Home Depot do not want to have a duty or an obligation to anybody but their shareholders. But should they not have a duty to the community? Should they not have a duty to their employees? Should they not have a duty to anybody that happens to be impacted by their operations? Arguably they should, but this is not how things are currently set up. So it is my view that corporations such as they are, and I'm talking about the Fortune 500, I'm not talking about the small, local, family business. I'm talking about the big corporations, the transnational corporations, the Fortune 500, the biggest 500 corporations. They are public enemy number one, because their operations are so damaging. Here's what they do. The big corporations are the ones that buy our government. They have bought. We no longer have a democracy in a meaningful sense because the big corporations and their controlling investors have bought our government. They bought our legislators at the federal, state, and local levels. They have bought our chief executives at the federal, state, and local levels. They have bought many of our regulators at the federal, state, and local levels. That's why corporate greed is a confusing term, because you might as well be talking about triangular triangles, because corporations only have a duty to deliver money to the shareholders, period. Any other duty or obligation is not a duty or obligation. It's just a nicety. It's like, well, if they happen to benefit the public, then so much the better. But the duty to which everything else is subservient is the duty to deliver money to the shareholders. If, in the process of delivering money to the shareholders, you have to pollute the water, so be it. You're taking care of your primary duty to deliver money to the shareholders. If in the process of delivering money to the shareholders, you induce the federal government to send to train death squads all over Latin America to assassinate labor leaders and assassinate priests and assassinate community organizers, then that's what you've got to do, because your duty is to deliver money to the shareholders. If you have to clear rainforest to make a profit, you're willing to do that. If you have to drive people off their land through violence to make a profit, you're willing to do that, because your sole duty is to deliver money to the shareholders. If you have to get behind agreements like NAFTA, which completely and entirely represent the interests of corporations and are bad for the interests of labor and bad for the interests of the environment, then you are willing to do that because your sole duty is to deliver money to the shareholders. Delivering money to the shareholders is otherwise known as the profit motive, and that is why the profit motive is in charge. today. The profit motive is in charge. So when people talk about socialism or capitalism, it often gets very, very murky because those are terms that mean different things to different people. But what we really have to decide as a culture, as a nation, and as a species is whether or not the profit motive is going to determine the fate of our planet. Is the profit motive going to be in charge? Are there any other considerations that are going to come into play when we decide who gets to control the natural resources on which we depend for our very life? This program is part of WFMP's Public Affairs Educational Programming. The views expressed are those of the speaker and not the station. If you have any comments, questions, or feedback, please email info@theclimatereport.net. Also, if you want to learn more about what the Climate Report is about, then go to theclimatereport.net. And one thing you can get there is access to previous episodes and lots of good blog content. So, as promised, today's episode is about Bernie's campaign announcement. Now, I need to say that I'm not endorsing or recommending Bernie Sanders because this is a public affairs educational program. It does not exist to endorse any particular candidate or any specific legislation, but we do exist to educate people about what's going on with public affairs. And one thing I want to observe about this speech is that Bernie talks about issues. If there's anything I can say about what candidates talk about while still remaining completely neutral as to the candidate is, candidates ought to talk about issues. And it's not, you know, it shouldn't just be a horse race. It shouldn't be a focus on personalities. The powers that be, the corporations that control our country, like nothing better when you're focused on relatively trivial issues related to this or that personality. They love it when Trump's tweets get all the attention and shift the focus away from the issues that concern people. But Bernie's going to talk about issues, so let's get into it. He says, "Today I want to welcome you to a campaign which says loudly and clearly that the underlying principles of our government will not be greed, hatred, and lies. It will not be racism, sexism, xenophobia, homophobia, and religious bigotry. That is going to end." So far, yes. I mean, he's not really talking about issues. Any candidate could say these things, and okay, fine, but what are you going to do? The next paragraph is the same way. "The principles of our government will be based on justice, economic justice, social justice, racial justice, and environmental justice. Today, I want to welcome you to a campaign which tells the powerful special interests who control so much of our economic and political life that we will no longer tolerate the greed of corporate America and the billionaire class." Now, let me ask you, could any candidate have said this? Maybe, maybe not. It is possible for a candidate to use language like this, but still really sidestep any meaningful action toward meaningful reform. So he says, "We will no longer tolerate the greed of corporate America and the billionaire class, greed which has resulted in this country having more income and wealth inequality than any other major country on earth." Now, let's talk about the issue of inequality. I just want to say on a personal note that as recently as the last Bernie Sanders campaign, I really didn't get it when it comes to why equality was a problem. Because relatively recently, I had still been brainwashed by the powers that be that want us to believe that inequality is not a problem. The powers that be want us to believe that there is something called a free market. The powers that be want us to believe that there is a meaningful amount of opportunity in our country. The powers that be want us to believe that when people have money, it's because they earned it. And there's only so much truth in that, because sometimes money is from inheritance. I don't know if this is true, but I heard recently that 60% of the wealth in this country is inherited. And so let's say that I don't know for sure if that 60% figure is true. The question is, there is an amount of money that is inherited. So there are people in this country who have money for no other reason other than the fact that their father's sperm and their mother's egg met and they were conceived. And that's the only reason they have money. So that money is not earned. Here's another type of money that's not earned, and that's money that is a result of theft and murder and environmental destruction. If you want to see money that has been quote-unquote earned by theft and murder and environmental destruction, all you have to do is understand what the American empire is all about. If you want to see money that has been quote-unquote earned by theft, murder, and environmental destruction, all you have to do is understand the true relationship of the United States with Latin America. Anybody who thinks that Latin America is poor because they just can't get their act together does not understand the true history of imperialism and how Latin America has been subjugated by the Spanish and then the British and then the Americans, the North Americans. One big problem in Latin America and around the world is a big company can go in and clear land, clear the rainforest, and grow crops for export, cash crops like cotton or palm oil. And the GDP, the gross domestic product of that company, goes up, and the exports go up. And it looks like the economy is doing well, but the only way you can get that GDP to go up is to drive people off of their land and turn them into slaves. So a great deal of the wealth in our country, including the wealth that is currently being accumulated on the stock market, is a result of theft and murder and environmental destruction. Anybody who thinks murder is not an important part of the wealth creation process on Wall Street doesn't understand the true nature of the American military. So inequality is a problem for many, many reasons, but partly because the wealth that people have has not been earned quite often. Obviously, some wealth is earned. But a great deal of wealth is not earned because it comes to people by way of inheritance or by way of murder, theft, and environmental destruction. That's why inequality is a problem. Another reason why inequality is a problem is that our Defense Department is designed not to defend us, but it is designed to generate wealth transfer from the poor and middle class to the very wealthy. More on that in previous episodes and in later episodes, but all you have to do is look at where computers came from. Look at your cell phone. Look at your iPhone. Where did it come from? It came from decades of government research, mainly through the Defense Department, and that government research just gets handed over to corporations who then make a profit on it. Who benefits from that? To some small extent, consumers benefit from it. To some small extent, workers benefit from it. But to a great extent, the greatest beneficiaries of that government research are investors who, by virtue of the fact that they have money, they can put money into a corporation and get money out, because that's what corporations do. You can put money into Apple and you can get money out. That's why there is a systematic and large-scale wealth transfer from the poor and middle class to the wealthy. In fact, I would also say that the upper middle class ought to be mad about this because they're probably the ones that pay the most taxes that then get put into government research that then get handed over to corporations, and it benefits the wealthiest people the most. Whereas the upper middle class, mostly the upper middle class, they're people who work for a living. Doctors, lawyers, successful salespeople, successful business people. These are people who work for a living. They own most of their money. They get most of their money from what they earn, not from what they own. But yet they are being compelled to pay taxes that then transfer money over to corporations like Apple and Boeing. And that's why the amount of wealth increases the most the higher up you go the income scale. So, continuing with Bernie's speech, we will no longer stand idly by and allow three people in this country to own more wealth than the bottom half of America, while at the same time over 20% of our children live in poverty, veterans sleep out on the streets, and seniors cannot afford their prescription drugs. So when he says three people in this country own more wealth than the bottom half of America, he's probably referring to the Walton Company. So if you look at how did the people of Walmart get their money? Well, mainly they've inherited it. So that money was not earned. Plus, how do the other major shareholders of Walmart get their money? Well, yes, Walmart provides some benefit to the community, but you have to look, what are the benefits and what are the costs and what are the alternatives? Some people just want to cheerlead for corporate America. Corporate America is all that. Corporate America is the greatest. Corporate America creates jobs, yada, yada, yada. But that's not an analysis. That's propaganda. An analysis is where you look at the benefits and the costs and the alternatives. So it's not just about what are the benefits of Walmart, but what are the costs of having Walmart and that business model, and what are the alternatives? Could we not have local businesses that more responsibly provide the services that Walmart provides? There's no time to answer that, but I'm just saying, whenever you have a cheerleader for corporate America, ask, what are the benefits, what are the costs, and what are the alternatives? When Walmart goes into a small town and drives other businesses out of business, quite often through unfair trade practices and monopoly types of abusive business practices, you have to ask yourself, what are the costs and what are the alternatives? Continuing with Bernie's speech, we will no longer accept 46% of all new income going to the top 1%, while millions of Americans are forced to work two or three jobs just to survive, and over half of our people live paycheck to paycheck, frightened to death about what happens to them financially if their car breaks down or their child becomes sick. And that's one thing that you'll never hear, you'll rarely if ever hear in the corporate media, and that is, why does 46% of all new income go to the top 1%? Meanwhile, the bottom half, their wages have been flat for 50 years. In terms of adjusted for inflation, real income and adjusted for inflation, the wages of the bottom half have been, and even the bottom 70%, have been flat for 50 years. That's not because the bottom half is somehow undeserving or they don't work hard. For one thing, the bottom half has been paying taxes. They've been paying taxes into the Defense Department. They've been paying taxes into the war machine, which then does all this research and hands it over to corporations, whereby investors can put money in and get money out and make a huge profit. But they don't have to pay the government for all this research and development, which created all the technology and then created all the profits. The workers of America, by virtue of being taxpayers, have earned the right to have a better way of life. But you'll never hear this talked about in the corporate media. And by corporate media, yes, it'll sometimes be mentioned in the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times and newspapers like that, but it's not what they mention once in a while that sinks in. You have to emphasize this stuff with some regularity and some consistency. And of course, the cable news is just often a cesspool of corporate talking points. And it never gets across to their listeners how we really have a system that is designed to transfer wealth from the poor and the middle class and even the upper middle class to the very wealthy. Continuing with Bernie's speech, we say to the private health companies, health insurance companies, whether or not you like it, the United States will join every other major country on earth and guarantee health care to all people as a right. All Americans are entitled to go to the doctor when they're sick and not go bankrupt after staying in the hospital. So some people on the right end of the spectrum, or if you're totally pro-corporate, then you say, oh, business is efficient and government is inefficient. And that is hogwash. It's like, efficient at what? So pharmaceutical companies are efficient at lobbying Congress so that the federal government cannot bargain for fair health prices and fair pharmaceutical prices. And the for-profit health insurance companies, you know, Obamacare was a gift to them. Obamacare legislation was written by the health insurance companies and the pharmaceutical companies, and it's designed to help them make more profit. Meanwhile, every other industrialized country in the world has, you know, government paid for health care, because health care is, for one thing, it is seen as being more practical to have the government pay for health care. We hear over and over about government bureaucracy, but we ignore private corporations that have bureaucracies. Health insurance companies have bureaucracies. That's why a fourth of their health care insurance goes to pay for administrative costs. By contrast, Medicare only has like 3 or 4% administrative costs. The administrative costs of private health insurance are much greater than the administrative costs of private health care companies, private health insurance companies. Hey, and guess what? You know those expensive ads that they pay for on cable news? Those ads that are paid for by the health insurance companies, well, they don't come from nowhere. That comes in, that gets added to your health insurance premiums. So you are paying for the privilege of having these huge health insurance companies tell you how great they are. Those types of advertising costs don't exist with Medicare. Yet another reason why Medicare has administrative expenses that are somewhere on the order of 1/7 or 1/10 the administrative expenses of private health insurance. That's all the time we have for now. We'll talk about the same topic in the next episode. Thank you for joining me. Hope you come back.